Hello.
Ahoy, hoy.
Hi. Ahoy. What up?
So, yeah,
What a week.
that's the beauty of just hitting record when no one else is paying attention and then not editing it at all and just being like, hey, we're just talking now.
Oh,
Yeah, no,
okay.
that's fair. I mean, just to break the old ice, we had to move this recording around because life happens, and then Paul had other life happen, aka work. So, alas, you will not hear the dulcet tones of one Paul Charizard Zowieski and his kayaking. But just know he's in our thoughts and probably our terminals.
Well, we're not going to get like a monologue of about food for 45 minutes for the 15 minutes that we normally talk. So, you know,
So this is
this
gonna be a
so
short episode.
hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of hunger, Laura, I think you did the research for us, thankfully, so that I didn't have
I
to
did
watch it.
research.
You did. You tried watching millennials trying Cracker Barrel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there's this video that's kind of surfacing around. I found it on Twitter. Jason Yee posted it. And it's millennials in New York City deciding that they had to go try Cracker Barrel. Like they've never heard of diner food before. Well, it's not even diner food. Like they've never heard of like Southern food. I don't know. Like watching their reactions, you just wonder how sheltered are these children? Like that's like
Yeah.
what was going through my brain, but also along the
Wait, I'm
lines of
sorry.
like,
Is it
what?
when we say millennials, we're talking about people in their early 30s, right?
These ones look like they were maybe 20s, like early
Th those are
20s. That's what they
Xennials.
look. I don't know. All I know
Xennials.
is that they build it as the millennials trying Cracker Barrel.
Which is
If they
such a
honestly,
boomer thing.
I
It's like
know,
anything younger than me
but
is a millennial and they want a promotion every 3 weeks and to change jobs every four. Yeah, rabble, rabble, rabble.
rabble. No, so basically, they are in New York City. I think this was the other reason, right? They're in New York City, and of course, they refer to it as New York. So for those of us like upstate, like you know how like
That's
that,
so
like,
real. That's so
well,
real.
so the worst part is I had Landon watch it with me the second time I watched it, and he's like, they keep saying New York, they mean New York City, New York City, not New York, New York City, because they were saying how in New York there's no Cracker Barrels.
Tell that to the
Like
town I grew up in.
the rest of upstate. So they had to go to Jersey to
Right.
go find a Cracker
Not
Barrel.
New Jersey, the original Jersey off
Well,
of
sorry, I call it
England.
Jersey
Oh, okay. I didn't know if
because
they
that's from
did.
Philly. No, they called it New Jersey. I call it Jersey because I'm from Philadelphia and therefore like Jersey is Jersey for me. And you just go and you do. Anyway, but they went there and they tried the top four things. So chicken and dumplings, country fried steak, hash brown casserole, and their mac and cheese.
Legit
And
lineup.
they're like reviewing it like they've never heard of these things before. And I'm sitting here like they've never heard of country fried steak. They've never tried it. They've never had it.
Mean,
And
that
yeah,
seems
but I
like
mean like
TV shows.
I know they were also like these aren't dumplings. With for the chicken and dumplings, they're like these aren't dumplings.
Yeah, it's just a lump of flour. This isn't a dumpling. Where's my shumai and teriyaki sauce?
Oh,
Yeah.
it was so like, it was interesting seeing how they were reacting to food when they're like probably a lot more focused on international cuisine in general. You know, but being in New York City, you get a lot more exposure to many other things. But at the same time, like, it's one of those like, how do you have these reactions to this food? Like, you've never seen it before or you've
I mean,
never heard of it. I don't know.
I do. There's so many things here that are great. What's excellent is like the broad generalizations of seemingly like 30 years of age difference, or at least 15 from a 20-year-old to a 35-year-old to be whatever we're calling millennial these days. And also allowing a single group of New York Cityites to be
Define.
representative of that whole category. So those wonderful conflations aside, like I do want to acknowledge, like, people get to things at their own pace. Like, if you've never seen something and then you see it, it is new. Like, and a lot
don't,
of...
Don't get me wrong. I get it. Like, that...
Oh,
I,
we just
I,
wanted
I
to judge them? My bad.
No, I'm going to... I was going to say, totally, like, I didn't really ever try many new foods until I traveled internationally for the first time when I was like 17 or 18. So, like, I get it, but at the same time, to then basically put out there this reaction video, it takes a lot of guts to put out this huge reaction video that's going to get like multi-thousands of viewers at least, and to talk about how they've never heard of like some staples of cuisine around the country. I don't know, like, I just thought it was a really interesting food-related video that.
So I think the first time, the first time I ever had hash browns was actually at a Cracker Barrel, and that was when I was 23.
But what kind of hash browns? Hold on, this is actually a question. What kind of hash browns were they?
Oh, I don't know. I've never been back. But I still remember it. There was a Cracker Barrel by Dell up in Round Rock here in Austin. And for whatever reason, somebody wanted to go there. And I was like, I've never been. Why are there all these chairs everywhere? Seems weird. Because the rocking chairs or whatever. I was like, this is weird. Exactly how I felt. And they're like, and I was like, hell, hash browns. I've always wanted to try these, and people are like, "What the fuck is wrong with you, JJ?" And I'm like, "I've never had these. Like, this is something I've just missed." And they were like, "Well, you should have them." And I remember the heartburn for like a day afterwards, and I still have never been back.
At 23 from hash browns, that's actually, way to avoid things that hurt you. Good call. Yeah. But to your point, Laura, when I think of hash browns, the first ones I think of like parboiled and then like grilled or fried potatoes. Yeah. And then I think of hash browns like McDonald's hash browns, because that was a treat growing up. And then I think on the other spectrum of like latkes, because I'm the token Jewish member of this tribe.
But see, latkes aren't hash browns. Like the hash browns at Cracker Barrel, they came in a cast iron skillet, didn't they? Is that right?
I don't remember.
And it's like the shredded potato, the flour, and how you make latkes. You shred potatoes.
See, I grew up with hash browns being the shredded potato variety. Mm-hmm. So like, that's what I always thought of as hash browns. And I remember the first time I like moved out of the Northeast and moved south and was like, oh, look, hash browns are on the menu. And I ordered hash browns expecting the hash browns coming with my scrambled eggs to be the shredded variety, and they came out as the chunks of potatoes. And it was like,
who hurt you?
Oh,
like, why do you make hash browns this way?
Those are morning potatoes, I mean, or something, right?
Like, well, yeah, so I think that's a better definition.
Like, but they'll call it hash browns depending on where you are.
They're lying to you. they're just lying. That's what's coming out.
Well, but see, this is like the question of like dumplings, right? Are they lying? Who's defining dumplings?
I'm so glad you asked. Dumplings are such a amazing cuisine. Like, there, I would argue every culture has its form of dumpling.
Right.
And it's really fun. My friends sometimes, for hanging out and a little bored, will play a game of categories. And you name a category and everyone has to name something from it without repeating for as long as possible. And I always choose dumplings when it comes up. And people are like, oh, there's only like three. And then we go around the room four or five times. And then it eventually gets into, is like chicken and dumplings? Or is that just like, you know, a chunk of carb? I'm like, no, it's categorically.
It's considered dumpling.
Yeah.
Is a like hamburger a dumpling?
I believe it has to be some sort of boiled.
No?
I thought it was the boiling being the main operative function of it. Like, you're boiling some form of starch.
Steaming. Yeah.
Or steaming. Okay. Steaming or boiling. Yeah, there's a
Have
water.
You never been to a public school cafeteria?
That's
technically a dumpling. And that's not meat. It's a twofer.
Oh, God.
Anyway, but this is where we have like the little ghost of Paul appearing on our shoulders, like dumplings are. Anyway, <Yeah. laughs> I couldn't help myself. That's what I'm picturing right now. A little Paul hovering over Matt's shoulder, like, by the way, dumplings are.
I feel like I have like, there's the good angel and the bad angel, and then there's just Paul that has pushed both of them away. It's just like chaotic neutral. Let me tell you all about this.
That's so true, though.
And where'd that bottle of baijiu come from? What the hell?
Well, JJ, you mentioned in some pre-podcasting that you've rediscovered a true love or found a new love or some sort of love is in your life. So why don't you tell us what's making you feel lovey?
So, first of all, I may have mentioned this before, but if I haven't, I'll mention it now. My oldest has picked up softball, and they had their last practice yesterday, and I got to play for the first time. And I used to play baseball when I was much younger. I played for about 7-8 years, and I enjoyed it. But that's only tangential to my rediscovered love. My rediscovered love, believe it or not, is bubblegum. Yes.
Okay. Bubblegum. Okay.
This is great.
Yeah. Like, what do you do when you play softball? Classic. Or what do you do when you play baseball? You chew bubblegum. So now, loud as possible. I could actually run off camera real quick if you want to. We got a big thing of bubblegum in my house now, and I'm basically sitting here chewing, like right now, not obviously on mic right now. Well, ha ha ha, that's not bubblegum.
I'm holding up a Trident white pack.
Yeah, that's not bubblegum. You got to blow bubbles with it for it to be.
I can blow bubbles with this.
Oh, you can't.
What's wrong with you?
You can't. No, you can't blow bubble with.
Do you want me to prove it? Do I have to prove it right now?
I do.
Wait, okay, is the gum equivalent of dumplings being able to blow bubbles?
Like, yes, it is. Get 2 seconds. Okay. I'm going to be right back.
All right, fine. So while I'm crackling open the package. So yeah.
No, two out of three podcasters are currently looking for and or shoving gum into their mouth.
I don't really want to crunch it really loudly into the mic. So I'm gonna mute and chew it up so that I can actually stretch it.
No, you gotta let this happen. This is ASMR. It's all up to you. For somebody.
So I went in and my wife can hear us podcasting and she looked at me and she was like, what are you doing? And I grabbed the double bubble right here.
Double bubble is good.
Yes, that is bubble gum. Thank you very much.
This is bubble gum.
It's not. That's just gum.
Oh, you hold on. Mm-hmm. You hold on right now. I'm going to prove it to you. I got to chew the little casing off first.
This is.
Yeah. This is. Yeah, I got to break mine in.
All right, folks. Well, I'm just going to keep looking at the agenda for today. Well, while you two chew, I'll actually talk through something. I am struggling with every time I get a new laptop, I always like, oh, thank goodness. I invested so much in like programmatically installing things and I have my dot files are all organized and backed up. And then I try to migrate them to a new machine and realize literally none of that works.
I know. This is what I was complaining about a few episodes ago.
Yeah. So I was really having that like broken dot file transference thing. I think part of it is going from Intel architecture to the M1 Mac.
You made that jump.
Yeah, I did. And I've literally never seen an application launch so fast in my life.
Isn't like, great?
I feel like I'm on a different planet. Like, this is a computer that is so fast and so slick. And I love the keyboard. And yeah, I'm pretty obsessed with it. I went with a MacBook Pro, the babyest edition, because 16 gigs in that system architecture just looks like 128 on a Intel. So
nice.
Yeah, it's been satisfying.
Have you done any of the sideloading of the iOS apps or whatever? Because can't do that on the M1 or whatever?
That's a great point. Yeah, like you can basically migrate or like use an app that's normally just for your phone or for an iPad on macOS. I've been doing some stuff for not regular listeners, like moving and pregnancy classes for my impending baby, and my poor Mac is not getting the attention that it deserves, but I'll eventually get there. but I'm trying to get there's a command line utility called chez moi, like my house in French, that will help you automate the backing up of your dot files. And I have a repo for it and popped it over and just broke something in there, and you know, just that dependency tree. Okay, these beautiful fools on the screen with me look like they're ready to complete their bubblegum adventures.
I've been muted, so
go for it.
I haven't been.
Take it away.
Go ahead, JJ. I saw you blow
one. I'm working on it.
Yeah. It's blowing slowly. It's just I got to keep stretching it. But there's the goal for the episode.
That one was for you, Paul. All right, JJ, show us what you got.
Hang on.
I was going to say, you weren't making it as big as your head. That's what I used to do with double bubble. That's why I used to have it.
To be fair, that was a legit bubble.
It was.
Okay. Laura, your turn. You look like you're about to loogie on the ceiling. What are you doing?
Normally, I grab two. And I only have one. That's what I was looking around for.
Oh, so. No. All right.
Well, maybe because it's not bubblegum.
It is bubblegum.
Do or die.
Yep. By the way, I'm going to screenshot this and make this the...
No. I already screenshot you when you were blowing, JJ.
Nice.
You're stalling with that laughter.
You walked into this one.
All right. I'm not going to make it look like I'm walking a hickey, though. I can't do
it. You can't blow bubbles when we're watching. It's supernatural. Just like start counting.
I used to get into so much trouble over this. Mm. Over chewing bubble gum and blowing bubbles.
Let the record show. That is sufficiently gum, but not sufficiently bubble.
Oh, come on.
I am such a neutral party in this. This could not be more ridiculous to me.
There you go. That's the shot I got right there.
Oh, no. Come on. Absolutely not.
Oh, that's so rude. No, that doesn't count. That's the best. I think I got a worse one, though. Laura, these are amazing. Oh, I also look like a doofus, so
that's anyway. Nothing.
Well, that was something. All right, Laura, you have a new toy that looks awesome. So you gotta tell folks about it before we wrap up.
So yeah, and I will get this to actually blow a bubble at some point. I found a tiny teleprompter that is literally, I'm holding it up so the people can see it, but it's about the size of my hand. Like I can palm it, like I can palm a basketball, and I'm a tiny person. So, but it literally screws onto the lens of my camera. Mm-hmm. It's called the Padcaster Parrot, and it screws onto the lens of my camera and sits there. It is about the size of my camera, so it can fit right in front of me. And it uses my cell phone as the, camera screen to put everything out.
That's really smart.
Yeah, and it's travelable, which I'm really excited about because it's not real glass. Travelable, yes. I'm making up new words today. It's travelable because this is... I don't know if you can hear it.
Yeah.
It's not real glass. It's polycarb, maybe? I don't know. But no, cool. It's really cool.
And so are you using it for your videos right now or like...
So I just released the second video in the two series that I'm booting up for Pulumi. And I haven't used it yet for a video. So if you actually look very carefully on any of the videos I've put out recently, you can see me trying to hide my side eye looks at my script with like eye rolls or looking off into the distance or like some kind of like attempt to hide that I'm reading my script real quick to catch up where I was. So this should hopefully fix that so that my sideways, like look away from the camera, come back is more natural versus me trying to read a script, which is very nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's really cool. You know, I don't know. I'm pretty excited about it. And it has adapters for all different camera lenses and stuff like that. So now that I don't use the GoPro anymore, I can do stuff like this.
Nice.
Neato. That is really neat. Well, cool. Looking forward to hearing more and snapping some pics. But we're going to keep this one short and sweet so that all of us can keep rolling with our day today. So what are folks cooking while you two try to cook up some more bubbles? I'll just say I cooked, I think, 2 gallons of chicken stock.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
You posted that picture up to Slack and it was just like,
yeah, I think,
by the way, we have a Slack. You can come join and talk to us.
Totally. We'll have to link to that. But yeah, I did post it. I just realized I had so many bones. Like we make chicken. I was doing spatchcock chickens like once a week, and just we throw the leftovers and the bones from that into a bag in the freezer, and then eventually I threw that all in, boiled it, skimmed a ton of the gunk off the top, and then got a pretty rich, delicious base. That nice. I'm going to use for the first time tonight to make some ramen. I'm going to do like a veggie
and delicious
chicken broth ramen with some red miso.
So is that vegan friendly?
Amazingly delicious.
No, it's not. But I do want to make, there is an oat-based tonkatsu recipe with using shiitakes for a ton of the umami and roasted tomatoes, actually, or like broiled tomatoes to like substitute for the chashu. And I really want to make that for a couple of vegan friends and see if it's tasty.
Are you going to put the sous vide in the broth to warm it up?
Obviously.
No, JJ.
Yeah.
No, JJ.
Yeah. No, it's just like in a tiny little bowl, I have this huge sous vide just squirting water into another bowl. Like, exactly. I just have to have a 2-bowl system for that.
I had to bring sous vide in somehow.
Don't understand. I just don't understand.
Sponsored by bags of water. Or food and bags in water. Okay, JJ, what are you cooking up?
Honestly, I have no plans. So we'll see, and I'll report back what exciting thing I do come up with.
Mazel. Laura?
I also have no plans, mostly because we're working on the car. Hold on. We're working on the car.
I'm judging.
I know. I see you judging me over there. We're going to be working on the car a little bit, or at least Landon is, and I'm going to help where I can. I have to pack because traveling is next week. So some traveling. But I did cook my eggnog streusel coffee cake last weekend. JJ's very excited by this because it apparently was quite good. And I hope that y'all finished it. I also brought you some of my chai. You drank some.
Oh, yum. I'm super jelly.
So that's where I've been, and I don't know what I'm cooking this weekend yet.
Those are impressive, though.
Well, yeah. Great. Eggnog streusel coffee cake. Delicious. Use some sour cream to make it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear more about that. Well, folks, this is a short and sweet one. We missed you, Paul. We tried to be judgy and funny when we probably didn't do it to your degree, so come back next week.
We did make funny faces though, trying to blow bubbles.
We definitely did.
That is true.
Good to see you, y'all. Have a good week.
Bye.